baroque scan process they use, where they have first they have the elections and then they have the nominations. I mean, there was an open meeting where Peace and Freedom Party members did not endorse Arnie Left, denied him endorsement, and they endorsed you. And I guess they also endorsed Ed Porter, I think, and a couple other people.
Yeah, Bonnie Moore.
And maybe, what's his name? Scott Bugenthal,
yeah.
But you know, then they
endorsed
did...
Endorsed us four,
and then suddenly, you know, the elite group went into private session and suddenly overturned that endorsement, just as the SCAN Steering Committee went into elite session and ended the Housing and Homelessness Committee. And just as the Green Party elite, I have to say, seems to have done absolutely nothing around the issue of Fitzmaurice for the last 2 years, and it's just very sad.
Yeah, I see the Peace and Freedom Party as an alternative to the Green Party, whereas the Green Party has been doing similar things other places it's gotten elected locally, where it's not really taking on the system. Now, Nader on a national level was, you know, in terms of what he'd do with the military budget and a number of things, really would have been some pretty big changes. But on the local level, they're fitting in with the system, becoming part of the problem. And that's why I think it's real important for people to get registered Peace and Freedom Party, get back with the Peace and Freedom Party. This big upsurge in the Green Party is part of why the Peace and Freedom Party lost ballot status. And we want to bring people back and get ballot status back, so we can really be putting forward a real alternative to the system, rather than these fakers like Fitzmaurice, who, you know, pretend to be on our side a little bit, but really don't do anything for us.
Well, it's interesting, you know, even Nader at the local level, he was schmoozing with the politicians, you know, Sugar and Fitzmaurice, and he, when asked about the sleeping ban, he ducked, he dodged, he weaved, he didn't come out specifically and deal with it, you know, although he kind of, you know, he finally was forced to admit that he didn't really favor the sleeping bans, but he went blathering on about affordable housing, which is what you hear from Democratic Party politicians who want to keep sleeping bans in place until the millennium comes. Let me ask you this. How can you people help you to get involved with the Peace and Freedom Party? Should they call your voicemail?
Call my voicemail. Actually, I should have the exact date, but I don't have it. The meeting's going to be, I think, the last Sunday of the month. Well, I know the last Sunday of the month over at the Loudon Nelson Center, but I'm not sure the exact time. I think 3, but call my voicemail and I'll get back to you.
And the voicemail again is?
457-9754, box 1169.
And if that, for some reason, isn't working well, give a call to 423-HUFF and I'll pass the messages on to you.
Cool.
Steve, finally, have you heard anything about Art and Revolution doing a sleeping ban skit today? I think it may be today or tomorrow that skit is happening, and I may be behind the issue, behind the ball on this, or it may have been postponed because of the rain. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. We're talking to Steve Argue, activist extraordinaire. He is not afraid to go to jail for his principles and to go on... organizing while you were in jail to get blankets for prisoners and better conditions, and as a consequence, you were assaulted in jail, held in solitary, and now you're outside doing more organizing. Again, the number to call if you want to get in touch with Steve Argue and the Peace and Freedom Party is 457-9754, extension 1169, and his radio show is from noon to 3 every Saturday on Free Radio Santa Cruz in the afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Another phone call here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Stay tuned at 427-3772 is the call-in number.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, hi. I think there's a correlation between what's going on right now at UCSC with the purchase of the Holiday Inn and the housing problem that we have right here in Santa Cruz and the homeless problem that we have right here in Santa Cruz. The university is absolutely, I thought they were, number one, responsible for housing their own students, and they're not building up there on their property at all. There's hundreds, thousands of acres up there, and they're putting up people down by the ocean, down by the, down in the Holiday Inn, a tax revenue for the city, and turning away homeless people from the only homeless shelter in the community. This does not make sense.
You sound like you may be an old timer in the community. You've been around for a while?
No.
Well, at least you're a newcomer.
Yes. And also, I was here 20 years ago.
So, well, let me ask you this, just sort of an off-the-wall question. How does it look different to you? Do you see a remarkable change or a significant change from 20 years ago here?
Oh, well, obviously.
In terms of homeless people and poor people and housing, how would you describe the difference?
Well, I would describe the America that I grew up in was an America where there were no homeless people, where that wasn't even within the concept of our reality. Nobody was homeless in America. This was not part of, there was a sense of social responsibility. There was a sense of taking care of your own. There was a sense of your own family handling matters. There was a sense of, America was a completely different place. So these weren't even issues that were in the consciousness of anyone in America. This was beyond our conscious, it just wasn't available. It wasn't there.
Well, I know that I think there always have been homeless people, and that there's been a general, you know, poor people have always gotten the shaft a lot of the time, but I think it certainly has gotten progressively worse, not just at the national level corporately, but also in Santa Cruz, partially as a reflection of that, no doubt. But we also have to hold our politicians accountable, and the politicians up at UCSC, I call them regents, I guess, and the chancellor and all the mucky mucks up there. Are you yourself involved at all with UCSC?
Well, yes. My husband came here with the specific purpose. He used to teach at UC, University of California, Berkeley, in the Graduate School of Design, dealing with the issue of housing and sustainability. He is the world's expert in this field. His name is Lee Butler, and he designed a way of heating and cooling houses without using fossil fuels 25 years ago. And these beautiful homes, which dot this countryside, they're all over here, and people that are living in them for the last 20 years without ever having a utility bill, allowing the press to come and see these exquisite, beautiful, masterful, exquisite pieces of architecture, and not one person responding from the press, from the traditional press, except for right now a few national press, because he was on the cover of Popular Science, Omni, House Beautiful, Home Garden, the Better Homes and Gardens, blah, blah, blah. I can carry on for another half an hour with the list. But the fact of the matter is that we came with the specific purpose. We just recently arrived, and we were staying in the Holiday Inn as a guest of Arnaldo Gilisorio for a week. And what we came here to do was for my husband to start an ecological design program at UCSC specifically. Now, we have been in contact with the chancellor, with the chancellor's office, and they're just unavailable, period. This is a world expert. This is not just somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about. He has spent his whole life, he's 61 years old, on this one subject, probably the only person in the world who knows of this one subject as intimately as he does.
Well, I would invite him to come to the homeless working group today at 6 o'clock. Both of you, if you're in town, we're a small group and much disfavored by politicians and so forth. But I think we talk straight issues, and of course, it's open to the public for anybody else out there who wants to come. 6 o'clock today, Baker Square Restaurant on Ocean Street, which is kind of midway between Denny's and the Santa Cruz Diner, if you know where it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what the cross street is. Because I think we need, I mean, there are all kinds of ways of building low-income and housing, and also of housing that doesn't use fossil fuel. It sounds, is there a particular name for the kind of
ecotecture?
Ecotecture.
Yes, and our website is thedolphindream.com. It's all one word, thedolphindream.com.
Huh.
And the first three sites deal with the housing ecotecture. Yes, there are all kinds of ways. Lee has designs for living in tree houses that don't even use materials. I mean, he can teach people how to build their own places. He can teach people how to build things in an automobile, how to make an automobile a very comfortable place to live. I mean, he's got...
That would be illegal in Santa Cruz.
Oh, I just heard. I just heard. But actually, like he just said, most of his buildings are illegal, but he's managed... They don't meet code, but he has managed in the past to sit in front of entire boards of zoning boards and planning boards and code czars and convince them to let them build his buildings. He has condominiums, apartment buildings in Oakland that have never had a heating or cooling bill for the last 20 years. He's got buildings all over the world that in snowy, snowy places that have never had a heating bill.
Particularly vital as PG&E rips off our wardrobe, our money, and our bank accounts.
Well, what surprises me the most is that we came from Florida, and in Florida, I actually had a store. I had a business on Palm Beach, which is a very Tony place. It's like I had my store on Worth Avenue, which is like Rodeo Drive. Okay, now we were there specifically to connect with the super rich, et cetera, who I was on committees with, blah, 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 did paintings for, did my work for, et cetera, et cetera. But they have absolutely no interest in anything sustainable. They're building, you know, these 40,000, 60,000 square foot mansions for themselves and their wife for 2 weeks out of the year. So this is a clear-cut enemy, in a sense. It's just a clear-cut. You know who you're dealing with. It's very clear. We come to Santa Cruz and I hear, oh, my God, people are so cool here. It is just the coolest place in the world. So much consciousness. Oh, Buddha this and enlightenment that everywhere. And, you know, every place you turn, some spiritual stuff going on and all of this enlightenment churches on every corner of different denominations. There's no enlightenment in this community.
No,
Excusez-moi. The enemy is just wearing a different type of clothes.
It's green clothing, yeah.
Yeah, they look very cool. They all look extremely very cool, but there's no consciousness here. And if I meet it, I'd be very curious to meet it. I haven't met it yet.
You know, I would love to have Lee or you, because you sound like you're as knowledgeable as he is, or certainly you've been following his career with some interest, I imagine.
What's your name?
I'm Robert Norris.
Okay, hi, Robert. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And your name is?
Jill Butler.
Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Let me give you a number to call so you can get in touch with my producer, and I do a show twice a week from 6 to 8 on Thursdays in the evening, and again, as you can see, from 11 to 1:30 on Sundays. And I think, you know, also it's possible for Lee to get his own show on the air, maybe a weekly show.
Perfect.
Where he could actually start discussing these issues.
Oh, he's extremely controversial. He's a brilliant speaker. He riles people up, and he's just outrageous. So I think it would be extremely entertaining at the very least.
Well, that's great.
Okay, well, give me the number and I'll write it down, and I'll give you mine, and we'll connect, and you look at the dolphin dream, etc.
Okay, you can talk to her about that, or unless you want to give people the number on the air, I don't know what you feel like doing, whatever is comfortable for you.
Okay.
Her number is, or the number, the 423-HUFF is the number for the reach the producer, and also Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Okay.
And that's 4833, 423-4833.
Okay.
And again, invite...
Well, we stay at the Hitching Post, and we're in room 112,
mm-hmm.
and our telephone number is 429-2900, extension 112. Anybody's welcome to come drop by or call us on the telephone and come by and see... pictures of the architecture, et cetera, and hear what we're up to. And we've come to serve in this community. That's why we came here. We came actually to serve and to get this whole thing going, because Lee's career happened in San Francisco 25 years ago. He was a small-town architect from Tennessee with a brilliant invention, and he went to UCSC, and they asked him to teach. He got so much controversy and popularity that they demanded that he teach there, so he ended up teaching at UCSC in the Graduate School of Design, and then building these houses worldwide, and then the bottom dropped out, as people know, what happened with the solar movement. And, as he said in the background, Nancy Reagan had eliminated solar panels. She said she didn't like the way they looked.
Yeah, right.
And he's gone on, Lee has gone on to create a really sustainable culture and environments and buildings that actually do the trick. They're earthquake-proof. They're hurricane-proof. They're floating. They're beautiful. They're not, and they take care of all their own utilities. They don't put anything into the earth, air, or water, and they don't take anything from the earth, air, or water. Right now, when you turn on a light bulb, somebody has to go to Kuwait and go fight a war. Excuse me, this is stupid. So we're destroying the earth with every move we make. If we don't start addressing this issue immediately as a nation, we have to get behind this instead of getting behind the space program. We've got to get behind the issues like sustainability, how to take care of each other, et cetera, before we carry on with anything else.
Well, you know, I've heard about old hippies. You sound like somebody from the 70s. You're one of them old leftovers from the 70s.
I'm not that old.
And thank God you're left over, man.
But I'll see you, and call us and come by anytime.
And please come to the Homeless Working Group if you can at 6 o'clock today.
All right, I will.
I'll buy you coffee.
Don't worry about it. Thanks. We'll see you later. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, the calls are coming thick and fast today. Let's take a breather. Greed. We've had another vote to dump Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire and put 15's Who Owns the Land on instead. So, hey, could be we're having a new theme song coming up at the next show. We've also had a request for an analysis of the Green Party meeting last night and what happened around the sleeping band. We'll be going to that as soon as this phone caller has her or his say.
Hey, caller.
Hey, that song sucked.
Which one?
The last one.
Oh, okay. Well, we're always...
I wouldn't vote for that.
Okay, well, we're not actually proposing that one, but there you are.
And what's this? I understand you're offering to buy somebody from Palm Beach, Florida coffee? Goddamn, you never offered to buy me a glass of water.
Hey, come on down. We'll give you a cup of coffee, too, but let's not get too many people involved. Otherwise, I will have to move to San Francisco and hide out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good place to go hide out. They follow you down there.
Well, that's what I hear.
Don't stay out of those bars there, though.
Well, so what's cooking with you, Merlin? I know that you've been trying to hang tough in a trailer court. They've been going after your mom's trailer. How's that going?
Well, so far they're leaving us alone, and the city of Capitola is supposedly going to lend us or give us $1 million towards buying the purchase of this park, and that was happening over a year ago, and I haven't heard any updates on it. The guy doesn't really want the mobile home park, he says, and the manager says, oh, he wants to sell it. He's talking to other people, but the person that's involved with the tenants here says, we have to have first choice on buying it, or else it's against the law for him to sell it to anybody else.
So
we got rent control, you know, that's why he doesn't want it.
I know you fought to keep rent control, and you still have trailer rent control.
Yeah,
although,
thank
of course,
God.
Most of us don't have rent control, but trailer does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wanted to applaud that college student. I can't remember her name, but
Leah.
Huh?
Leah.
Leah, yeah, that's the first time. I don't know if this is true or not, or in actuality, but for me, it's true. It's the first time I've heard a college student call up your show and support, you know, against the sleeping ban or rent control. And it makes me wonder, gee, did they actually have to get to the point now where they're like, you know, getting into the Holiday Inn and there's still students they don't have room for? I don't understand. I really don't understand why the university gets any goddamn thing they want, man, regardless of the politics in the town. And like you were saying, oh, we can't please Plantronics, we can't please Intel. No. The city officials are doing everything they can to please these fucking companies.
Oh, yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. And the university, of course, is a huge money maker for the area, and they get their way, unless I think the students and the community has to unite to do the kinds of real show of power that will require the university to take notice, and probably that involves also embarrassing the regents. I mean, there have been sit-ins and other universities around the country on issues like environmental issues and issues like living wage and issues like slave labor. And I think that can be used here on local issues.
Yeah, I don't know anybody in Santa Cruz, and I've been here 25 years. I don't know anybody that's against the students. We all love the students, you know? But it's when you say, oh, we want more students, and then it's like the local population suffers, you know, the students would have more of a let's get involved in the local political issues than, I think it's rather than, like, you know what I mean? We're our own little city on a hill. That's separatism, man. I don't agree with that. We're our own little city on a hill. Then, like, I don't see Holiday Inn. Why don't they build a Holiday Inn on the fucking hill? You know.
Well, I think that the students are a group of people who come into this idealistic. They come into this concerned about justice and basic civil rights and in protecting the rights of the community. And I think they need to be somehow approached and organized. And I'm hoping that the Rascals, the group that was doing organizing on campus a couple years ago, is going to pick up issues like the sleeping ban and rent control, maybe broader issues like sustainable energy and sustainable housing that we heard the last caller talk about.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's so many students. They do have a lot of power if they want to voice their voice.
Yeah.
You know, if they all showed up at the anti-sleeping ban things with
you. And you, of course, are organizing the trailer park to demand more rights against the owners and such.
Well, we like to buy it.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know?
Start spare changing, but not after dark and not in Santa Cruz or Scott
and don't
Kennedy,
sleep in the car. Yeah, you know, there was that woman that called up. Her husband just came from Florida. She's listening. She can give me a call at 477-0182, and I'll see if I can get her husband on a TV show.
Okay, well, maybe she's listening, and maybe you repeat that number again for her.
That's my number, 477-0182. I got the Idle Hands television show.
Okay, well, then perhaps Joe will hear that and give you a call. And
yeah, they'd have to fit in with some hardcore rock and roll music, though.
Uh-oh, well, that maybe she could wear earmuffs, maybe.
They could wear earplugs, that's right.
There you go.
You know, there might be some strippers, too, so they might have to wear, like, you know, dark sunglasses or something.
Right, or maybe just whips, carry whips and chains.
Hey, so we get more ratings that way.
Whip them out of the temple. Anyway, I thank you for calling in. Anything you want to add before I...
No, just remember, you owe me a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir. Do it.
Okay.
Remind me.
Keep up the good work, buddy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, your 11 to 1:30 Sunday Civil Rights Show. We have lines open at 427-3772 if you want to call in. Caller called while the music was on. Bernard Klitzner, one of the three City Council coffee clatchers. I and Becky Johnson are the other two. We're barred from City Hall and still trying to end the sleeping ban whatever way we can. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We talked about it at the last show, and I'll do a kind of a recap on that one. But the question that Bernard had was what happened at the Green Party Assembly, as they rather portentously call their meetings. I wasn't there for all of it. I was actually only there for about a third of it. And it could be that Becky Johnson, who's my producer, but also was a presenter at that meeting of a proposal to end the sleeping ban and hold Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice accountable for his defense of the sleeping ban in the last 2 years as city council member, maybe she could do a better job. She may be able to call in on this issue at some point and give an update as to what happened at the Green Party meeting. I have a rather negative view of the Green Party, although, frankly, I really enjoyed the people I talked to. And a lot of the meet, I think when I got to the meeting, there were 20 or 25, maybe even 30 people there, a large group of people. Looks like my phone was off the hook. Sorry, callers. Keep trying to get in. It's not busy. It's available. So when I got to the Green Party, they said a lot of the Green Party meeting yesterday, which they meet, I think they meet once a month, and they're going to be meeting more frequently with a sort of a steering committee type group that's going to kind of try to hack everything into shape so the larger membership can vote more quickly and act more quickly on issues which are decided by consensus somewhat. I understand it's a consensus, maybe it's an 80-20 vote if consensus fails. I'm not quite sure of the procedures, but it is largely a consensus process at the Green Party meetings. The Green Party, as I said before, was famous and celebrated by some of us for actually trying to take a more militant position on the sleeping ban. David Silva, kind of a Green Party elder, has been pushing to end the sleeping ban through two initiatives, through hunger strikes and fasts last spring and into the summer, through meetings with then-Mayor Keith Sugar, through a betrayal by that same Keith Sugar and the city council when they essentially dumped his ban initiative proposal. He wanted to get it on the ballot through Tim Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice provided on one of the votes that stopped it from going onto the ballot. But David Silva has been really working hard on that issue in the Green Party, and he unfortunately hasn't been too well lately, so he hasn't been at the meetings. But he was able to set up a process at the Green Party whereby city council candidates were really very thoroughly scrutinized before the last election, and there was a lot of questions asked of them. And unfortunately, the answers were not really conveyed to the Green Party membership. So we instead, a small committee gave its recommendations, and because of I think people only got half an hour or 15 minutes worth of time out of a two-hour meeting to even talk about the city council candidates in November when that issue came up, and it was a very bad process. And frankly, it wasn't much better yesterday. Yesterday, what you had was you had a huge resolution apparently was rammed through very quickly by under Green Party facilitator David Espinoza when he was there. I wasn't there for this. I'm getting secondhand information without much discussion because he had to rush off and see his girlfriend was what I heard. That was why he had to rush things through. This may be disputed, and I'm always controversial in my presentations. This is a secondhand presentation here anyway about this. But there was, I know when I got there, Green Party member Lydia Blanchard was very upset that the process the people were not being given enough time and enough notice to consider a complicated proposal that would have given a significant power to the steering committee. And a lot of us have had it with steering committees that meet in kind of semi-closed sessions and have peculiar, obscure processes for putting matters on their agenda, and such as SCAN, which is a whole another story that I've talked about, the Santa Cruz Action Network, the main group behind the city council's electoral victories, or one of the main groups downtown that's endorsed almost every successful city council member in the last two decades. They've had a couple of them haven't gotten on, and there are a couple on there now that are not SCAN endorsed, but generally the city council is a SCAN endorsed city council, and their steering committee, hopefully the Green Party steering committee, isn't going to be the same way. For more information about this, I myself had difficulty getting clarification on how to get matters on the agenda. Finally, I was able to get a phone number out of the folks at the meeting, and there is a number to call where you can put matters on the Green Party agenda if you're a Green Party member, and it's not hard to be a Green Party member if you want to become one. I kind of go back and forth between the Green Party and the Peace and Freedom Party, and we heard a previous caller who's a Peace and Freedom Party organizer say that one of the reasons the Peace and Freedom has lost its ability to be on the ballot is because so many people have joined the Greens. On the other hand, the Greens are the thing that's going in Santa Cruz for me, so that's why I'm kind of running over there, but I think both groups have to be watched. And particularly when you have somebody in town who is the mayor, who Tim Fitzmaurice, TRO Tim, as I call him, TRO for a temporary restraining order, for the order barring the activists from coming to City Council, City Hall, I should say, the City Council offices, to lobby down the sleeping ban. When you have somebody like Tim Fitzmaurice there, who is a Green Party member, hopefully you want the Green Party to say, look, there is a contradiction between what Fitzmaurice has been doing, what the Green Party says it stands for. And that was, to kind of get back by this roundabout route, what was talked about at the very end of the Green Party meeting on recommendation from activist Becky Johnson. She presented both a copy of the Green Party state platform, and I have that here, and I'll read the section. The Green Party state platform is pretty explicit. It has a section on homelessness. The homelessness section reads like this. Homeless people have the right to full acknowledgement of their human dignity and a voice in the decisions that affect them. Homelessness reflects an area of total failure in our society. Today, homeless people are hounded, threatened, and often cannot obtain badly needed services. Though affordable housing could help alleviate the problem of homelessness, the homeless have needs that go beyond housing. The Green Party calls for measures to help the homeless. 1. Expand community-based services for the homeless and make them more readily available. 2. Repeal all laws that criminalize any facet of homelessness or helping the homeless. 3. Abolish anti-sleeping bans, especially in areas which don't have adequate open space, shelter, and sleeping areas for the homeless. Sound familiar, Santa Cruz? 4. Strictly enforce all the laws that are designed to provide for the homeless, such as the laws that require the opening of National Guard armories to the homeless during inclement weather. And I might add, laws like the Stewart-McKinney Act, which are supposed to provide the opening of Fort Ord for housing for homeless people, but have been brutally and flagrantly ignored. That's my addenda. All this talks about is National Guard armories. 5. Allow the homeless to take part in decisions about long and short-term solutions to the situation. And 6. Strengthen and increase funding of mental health and drug rehabilitation systems. And I hope by that they mean voluntary rather than involuntary mental health programs. But it's not clear. I'm not sure what their position is on involuntary incarceration and drugging. Perhaps a Green Party member can call in and tell me. What Becky Johnson did was she presented that section of the Green Party platform for the Green Party members to look over, and then she presented as sort of a chronology of Fitzmaurice's comedy of errors around the sleeping ban, his failure to do anything around the sleeping ban, even when he has a clear majority on city council. I have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on free radio.
It's like I just had the brain fart that I had a while back. And
make it quick.
It's, there's a homeless, as in without a house, and then less home, which is for the people that have a place, but it's not quite a house. In other words, it's falling apart. That's less home. And then homeless, two words, is that you're homeless because you have to work more to keep what you have.
Obviously, you're a poet, and you have to get back to your poetry.
So,
all righty. Well,
homeless, less home, and homeless.
At least you're not homely. Let's keep that in mind.
Hell yeah.
Damn right.
Damn tootin'.
Thank you.
Moving on from that particular brain fart to this particular discussion, Green Party meeting yesterday, Becky Johnson presenting the sleeping ban repeal proposal. Her main concern apparently was to hold Tim Fitzmaurice accountable by this group, and she presented a number of suggestions how to do that. She has 9 of them here. We can look the other way and hope the Green mayor will finally begin acting in a green manner. That's been the Green Party approach for the last 2 years. And frankly, they're not doing too much more, even after this meeting. 2, we can form a lobby to go to Tim as the Green Party and find out why he has thwarted reform on this issue. 3, we can write a letter to the state Green Party asking for advice on what to do with a Green mayor who is violating the Green Party platform. 4, we can delegate this to a homeless working group of Greens to write a letter of censure directly to Fitzmaurice, the media, and the community. 5, we can each go as individuals to city council and other forums where Tim Fitzmaurice is present and speak out on the issue. 6, we can start a lawsuit against the sleeping ban section funded by the Green Party. 7, we can begin a third initiative, a voter initiative, to end the sleeping ban. 8, we can liaison with other groups such as the Homeless Working Group, Mainstream Advocates, Huff, Cab, Scan, Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, etc. And 9, we can start a recall against Tim Fitzmaurice. Needless to say, they did not pick up the recall idea. What was picked up was Nick Whitehead, a longtime activist against police violence and for other social justice causes, Green Party member, a week or two ago had asked for volunteers to be on a homelessness subcommittee or homelessness working group for the Green Party. He gave out his phone number, and they kind of the Green Party endorsed his formation of this group, and asked him to look into these different proposals and come up with something that the homeless working group ratifies and mentions. Again, you know, it's nice to have a process by which everyone can be included and go to the meetings, come up with something, and I support that. But it seems so obvious that Fitzmaurice's behavior is a flagrant violation of the Green Party platform that it just needs to be called very, very quickly and very, very simply. Now, some people in the group suggested, well, let's invite Tim to a discussion about this issue. Well, the Green Party meeting was discussing it, and he wasn't there, and he wasn't, as far as I know, at the previous meeting either. Maybe I'm wrong about that. He should be invited. He's always invited. We've invited him to our HUF meetings, our Homeless Working Group, which is another group which has the same name as the Green Party, the new Green Party Homeless Working Group, but meets today at 6, as I've been mentioning, and people are invited to come to that at Baker Square. But Fitzmaurice hasn't responded. In fact, his response has been when we go to his offices to get a court order to drive us away and then charge us $200 each for the privilege of replying to that court order. It's pretty sinister stuff. Fitzmaurice has revamped city council decorum rules to bar videotaping from the front, so where normally video journalist Becky Johnson and others have stood and the press is seated, they can't do that anymore. I can't leave a tape recorder up at the mic anymore. I have to rely on the speaker system at the city council, which fails frequently in terms of bringing anything to the community about issues of what go on at the city council. The first three rows are now reserved for disabled guests and press, respectively. There is an armed police officer standing by the door, even if there are only two or three members of the audience. If you try to approach the city clerk who's sitting at the side, normally, which is quite an informal process where you would hand your green card to her and ask to be put on the list of speakers in the afternoon session, the sergeant will stand between you and take your card instead in an intimidating manner. We have a whole new series of nasty, repressive rules masquerading as decorum. And if this is Tim Fitzmaurice's green contribution, I think we need to make some changes before we all get green, completely green about the gills and start despoiling the council floor with our nausea on this issue. So that's kind of what happened at the Green Party yesterday. If anybody who was at that meeting wants to call in and give more discussion as to what happened, I'd be happy to entertain those calls. Call-in number is 427-3772, 427-3772, and here's a caller.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, hi. Good morning.
Now, you're not a Green Party member.
No, I have been nonpartisan for many years.
We're talking to the notorious rent control LaMonica. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing very well, you bet. And the reason why I've been nonpartisan is that invariably what happens with the Green Party, for example, mm-hmm. happens invariably, which is that winning becomes more important than principle.
Mm-hmm.
The overriding, motivating force becomes petty power over principle. And if one is not virtually assured of a victory, one does not stick one's neck out. Certainly, if it's going to rock the boat in one's own community, one doesn't stick one's neck out.
Now, you have been sticking your neck out recently. At least you've been sticking your feet out and going over the hill to look for some rent control prospects in San Jose, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a... The Sentinel has an interesting editorial today, Housing, a Call to Action. And at the bottom of it, they request help solve the housing crisis. And they're going to put together a coalition of those who want to examine the housing crisis and possible solutions, and to email them, which I did this morning, by the way. Rent control certainly deserves to be represented in the mix of possible solutions to stabilize the housing situation.
Uh-huh.
But what I have seen, not just with rent control, but rent control is indicative, and you and I have talked about this, and it's a constant issue on Free Radio, is that unless there's a bandwagon and it's an assured victory, you're not going to see the establishment come out for anything.
So, on the other hand, over in San Jose, some folks are coming out. Do you have any updates on that?
There's another meeting February 22nd, which I will be at. I will do what networking I can. I think rent control is one of the more fundamental, necessary, appropriate issues of our time.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. I believe that rent control, when it is stripped of its emotional irrationalism, and we begin to recognize that we live in a regulated environment, and that we should be grateful that we live under such circumstances, and that when we lift the lid of regulation, what happens is gouging.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply the human condition.
You're talking to the converted here. What groups
absolutely.
Are...
Absolutely.
You mentioned going to the SEIU,
yeah,
I guess...
Yeah, the SEIU mm-hmm. over the hill, SEIU 715 over the hill, has come public with a endorsement of rent control and of tenant activism.
That's the Service Employees International Union?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the SEIU 415 has been approached by myself, all right,
mm-hmm.
and it is a necessary step to get the so-called political leadership involved in this in a meaningful way. And I think in many ways the issue comes down to whether or not the establishment leadership that likes to call itself progressive in this town has the courage to stand up for what they claim to believe in behind the scenes. Now, I've come to a point in my life, Robert, and I'm not ashamed to say it anymore. I have, generally speaking, a contempt for a lot of those that call themselves progressive, because I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there issue after issue after issue after issue, I see this, if we can't win, we're not going to stick our neck out,
well,
et cetera, et cetera.
Our challenge is to build a new coalition of people who really are progressive, not who are just use the name and get into political power and then, you know, breeze along.
I think one of the keys here is going to be shame.
Wait a minute. Tim Fitzmaurice doesn't like shame.
Well, then... That's shameful.
Indeed. That's because he's shameless.
Yes, I stand corrected. It's shameless.
Yeah.
The reality is that when you strip away the emotionalism to an issue like rent control, it becomes quite rational.
Mm-hmm.
It does not deny property owners profit. It denies them the right to gouge, which in all sincerity is what regulation is all about. It's about mitigating exploitation.
Any contacts with campus on this? I've heard the Rascals are looking into rent control, supporting rent control. Have you been in touch with them?
I gave a call to a number that you gave me. We'll see where things come around. My sense is that this issue is up for a new birth.
Excellent. Now, how
okay.
can people join this, be a midwife?
Can certainly get a hold of me, anybody that wants to call me, and my number is 466-0500. I think what's going to happen is that groups, including SCAN, are going to get another opportunity to deal with this issue. And if they duck at this time, it's going to mean that many more points against their credibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, give your number again.
466-0500.